Chapter 16. They split up into two teams. Lexi, Norman, and Ida were tasked with talking to Judy at the farmer's market, and Nan's Ruth and Helen went to ask about Olivia at the Fur Fun Canine Center. Lexi's team took Norman's car. Lexi sat in the back so Norman could grill Ida about her investigative techniques on the way. Lexi ignored the conversation as she chewed on her thumbnail and wondered if her bakery would suffer because of all the time she was spending away from running it. She made a mental note to give Cassie and their part-time girl, Haley, a bonus for extra work they had to do in her absence. They pulled up in front of the farmer's market and piled out of the car. "Now, remember," Ida leaned toward Norman, her voice barely above a whisper. "Don't make it too obvious how eager we are to find out where Evelyn was that morning. We don't want to let on that we are investigating." Norman's eyes went wide, and he nodded like a puppy eager to please its master. They went inside, and Norman looked around for Judy, while Ida and Lexi pretended to be interested in the watermelons.
"There she is, over by the onions."
Norman nodded toward a petite brunette, arranging signs on a display that was loaded with onions, garlic, and potatoes.
"Let's go over slowly,"
Ida advised, and Norman started to walk at a snail's pace.
"Not that slow."
Ida rolled her eyes at Lexi. Norman increased to a normal pace. Judy looked up as they approached, recognized Norman, and smiled. "Hi, Norman. What brings you here?"
"Oh, we were just shopping for some..."
Norman hesitated and shot Ida a look of panic.
"Sweet potatoes,"
Ida said, picking up one of the orange spuds in the bin in front of her and inspecting it.
"Gonna make a sweet potato pie."
"That sounds delicious," Judy said. "Is this your grandma?"
No,
Norman stuttered.
"I'm a friend of Norman's grandma, and this here is Lexi."
Ida nodded toward Lexi.
"I'm Judy," the girl said, pointing to her name tag.
"We know some of the managers here, Larry and Evelyn,"
Ida said, before Judy could get away.
"Oh, they're real nice," Judy said, favoring them with a perky, dimpled smile.
"I didn't see them here yesterday morning."
Ida eyed Judy out of the corner of her eye.
"I know Evelyn wasn't here because she was already gone to the Organic Growers Convention in Houston."
Judy chewed her bottom lip for a few seconds.
"Nope, Larry wasn't here either.
I remember because we had a problem with the spaghetti squash, and he was the only one that could fix it, but no one could find him."
"Oh."
Ida feigned interest in a plump Fidelia onion.
"When did Evelyn leave for the convention?"
"Oh, she left 2 days ago.
I remember because she was leaving on my day off. Of course, she had to cut her trip short and fly back when Winston, you know."
Judy looked down at the floor.
"Hello, ladies."
Larry had come up behind Lexi and was regarding them with narrowed eyes.
"Nice to see you again."
"Hi, Larry."
Ida smiled and held up a sweet potato.
"Just coming to get some of these wonderful potatoes for a pie."
"I thought I heard you asking about Evelyn," he said sharply.
Judy's eyes darted from Larry to Ida to Lexi.
"I was just telling..."
Ida cut her off.
"We were telling Judy how much we enjoyed talking to you and Evelyn the other day.
And we wanted to tell you how sorry we were about Winston," Lexi added.
A shadow passed across Larry's face.
Sorrow? Guilt? Lexi couldn't tell which.
"Thanks."
His face turned hard.
"We didn't see eye to eye on a lot of things, but he was still my brother."
"Of course, you must be terribly upset," Ida soothed.
Larry nodded, then looked pointedly at Judy.
"The grapefruit display needs straightening."
yes, of course. Judy nodded at Norman, Lexi, and Ida before scurrying off.
I can help you take these potatoes up.
Larry put the potatoes Ida had been fondling into a bag.
Do you need anything else for your pie?
No, that should do it.
Larry escorted them to the cashier. Ida paid for the potatoes, and they piled back into Norman's car. Ida half-turned in the seat, so she could see both Lexi and Norman.
Was it just me, or did you guys get the impression Larry was trying to get rid of us?
He was definitely trying to get rid of us, and he didn't seem too happy we were talking about him and Evelyn to Judy. Norman's brows shot up to his hairline.
Almost as if he had something to hide.
Ida nodded.
At least we discovered one thing. Evelyn most likely didn't do it because she'd been gone for a whole day before Winston died.
But Larry could have, Norman added. According to Judy, he wasn't at the farmer's market that morning.
Lexi's heart sank. Could Larry be the killer? She liked Larry and didn't want it to be him.
That doesn't prove he killed Winston. Of course not, Ida said. But it brings up the question of where he was that morning.
Lexi nodded. We need to dig deeper and find out if he has an alibi. Or if he was with his brother.
And there's another question, too, Ida said.
What's that?
Norman asked. Ida held up the bag she'd brought from the store.
What the heck am I going to do with these potatoes? It sure is pretty out here. No wonder so many people are opposed to the retail development.
Nan stood beside Ruth's Olds, stretching her back as she gazed out over the lush fields of grass and wildflowers.
Copy that, Ruth said,
then reached into the car and grabbed the bag of snickerdoodles they'd scoffed from Lexi's bakery.
I remember when this was a working farm,
Helen added as they walked toward the door.
There used to be cows, goats, and horses. Mama got all her vegetables from the farm stand.
Oh, that's too bad it's gone to ruin.
Nan's held the door open for Helen. The three of them looked around the lobby of the canine center.
Where should we start? Ruth asked. Let's find someone who works here and who looks like they want to talk.
They turned the corner and walked up to the desk to the doggy daycare. Behind it, a blonde with short curly hair sat staring at the computer.
Hello, Nan said brightly.
Can I help you?
I'm Mona, and this is Ruth and Helen.
Nan's opened the cookie bag and angled it toward the blonde.
Cookie?
The girl glanced into the bag uncertainly, then up at Nan's before dipping her hand in and pulling out a cookie.
Do you have a question about the doggy daycare?
We're doing an article on the Canine Center for the Tribune.
Helen coughed. We're just looking around to get some background info.
Ruth here does the society pages.
Nan's nodded at Ruth.
Oh.
The girl gave them a disinterested look as she munched her cookie.
Yes, and I hear you have a member of high society that comes here, Ruth said.
We do?
Yes, Olivia Banks.
Oh, yeah, the girl waved her hand. She's here all the time. Has a couple of Pomeranians that do agility. Really cute and fast, too. The dogs, I mean, not Olivia.
Right. We were wondering if she had a regular schedule. We might want to come when we get to snap a picture,
Ruth said. The girl scrunched her face up.
She really doesn't have a set schedule, but if you want to get a photo of her today, you've come way too early. She never gets in before noon.
Nan's raised her brows at the others.
Oh, thanks.
I guess we'll just mosey around and get a feel for the place for our article.
Nance turned and winked at Helen and Ruth.
Thanks, Helen said to the girl. You're welcome. Have a nice day,
the girl called after them as they walked off.
Well, how do you like them apples?
Nance reached into the bag of cookies, then held it out for Ruth and Helen, who both took a cookie.
That doesn't help us at all,
Helen crunched into her cookie.
Nope, we'll have to find out what Olivia does each morning if we want to rule her out by establishing an alibi.
Nance held the door open, and they spilled out into the sunshine.
Let's find out if the other team had better success.
Nance rummaged in her oversized purse, then pulled out her cell phone, stabbed at the screen, and put it up to her ear.
Hello, Ida.
Hi, Mona. How did you guys make out?
Ida's voice crackled in Nan's ear.
It was a bust for us. What about you?
We got some interesting information.
The excitement in Ida's voice carried over the line, making Nan's tingle with anticipation.
We're on our way back to your place now to compare notes.
We'll meet you there.
Nance broke into a sprint, gesturing for Ruth and Helen to hurry it up, as she yelled into the phone,
Last ones there have to clean up after coffee. If what Judy told you is true, we can rule out Evelyn.
Nance marched over to the whiteboard and drew a line through Evelyn's name.
We may want to double-check with the Organic Growers Convention and make sure she was really there.
Helen dipped her snickerdoodle in her cup of coffee. Lexi noticed she didn't bother to clean up the few drops that sloshed over onto the table. Nance nodded.
Good idea. It pays to be thorough.
I'll call them, Ruth said, and Nance made a note on the whiteboard. Evelyn still could have done it, Helen said. She could have put something in leftovers that she knew Winston would eat later on. That would be perfect, actually, because if he ate it while she was away, that would give her an alibi.
No, I don't think she would have done that.
Ruth crunched into a cookie, ignoring the crumbs that fell on the table in front of her.
It's too risky. What if someone came over to visit and ate the food?
Nance nodded, then chugged down her coffee. She brought the cup to the kitchen counter, opened the cabinet, and pulled out a clean one, which she filled with more coffee. Lexi's mouth pursed into a thin line.
You can use the same cup, you know, Nance.
Oh, I know. But since you guys have to clean up...
Lexi sighed. They'd pulled up in front of the retirement center at the same time as Nance, Ruth, and Helen, but the old ladies had proven to be faster at getting out of the car and sprinting through the halls.
So now we need to figure out where Larry and Olivia were that morning,
Norman said. Larry was acting awfully funny at the farmer's market, Lexi said.
Yeah, almost as if he didn't want us asking questions,
Ida added.
And Judy did say he was supposed to be there, but didn't show up,
Norman pointed out.
Which means he deviated from his routine, Nance said. Too bad he lives in that cabin in the woods. We can't ask a doorman or servant where he was.
Where's his cabin?
Norman asked.
Out on Mountain Road,
Ruth tapped on her iPad that she'd placed on the table in front of her.
I looked it up earlier. Nice place, but simple.
She slid the iPad across the table to Norman.
Remote, with no neighbors, so we can't ask them either,
Helen said.
Maybe we should focus on Winston's place,
Ruth offered.
See if one of them paid him a visit.
Helen's phone chirped. She pulled it out of her purse, looked at it, and then rolled her eyes.
It's Stan. He's been texting me and posting on my Facebook timeline. I knew we shouldn't have gone over there the other day.
Now, Helen, Nan soothed, that was for the good of the case. We all have to make sacrifices.
What's so bad about Stan? He's not bad looking. He's rich, and he sure does seem to be smitten with you, Lexi said. Helen made a face. Geez, Lexi, at my age, the last thing I need is a man hanging around and spoiling all my fun. I'll just text him back that I'm not available.
Wait a second, Nance yelled.
Helen poised her finger over the phone, her left brow lifted at Nance.
Maybe we should invite him over. He was friends with Winston. He might know something about his death, Nan said.
Honestly, Mona, I really don't want to encourage him.
Please.
Nan gave Helen her most endearing look.
It might be our only chance.
You can lure him over with some of Lexi's snickerdoodles. One more place setting won't be too much, especially since we don't have to clean it up. Ruth smirked at Ida. Helen let out an exaggerated sigh. Okay, fine. She typed into her phone. A few seconds later, her phone dinged. Her shoulders slumped as she read the text. He'll be right over. Stan must not have been very far away, because no sooner had Nance, Ruth, and Helen moved the whiteboard back to Nance's spare room to hide it, when a knock sounded at the door. Nance ushered him in and made a fuss over giving him coffee and pastries. Lexi noticed the sly smile on Nance's lips as she made sure extra crumbs fell on the table when she transferred a scone to Stan's plate. Nance got an extra chair from the living room, and everyone sat down.
Helen, I was hoping you'd like to go to lunch today.
Stan gazed at Helen as if no one else was in the room.
Oh, I don't know,
Helen started out, then jumped as if someone had kicked her under the table. Probably Nance, Lexi thought.
That would be lovely, she said, fixing Nance with a nasty glare.
Say, Stan, did you hear about Winston Banks?
Nance didn't waste any time getting to the point. Stan looked down at his scone.
Yes, I was sorry to hear about him. Isn't it funny that we'd just been talking about him a couple of days before? I guess the stress of his extracurricular activities got to him.
Yeah, funny, Ruth said. Life is full of little coincidences.
It sure is, Stan replied. In fact, I had just seen him that morning at the club.
Lexi's ears perked up. Oh, really? Did he seem sick?
No, not at all. That's why I was surprised when I heard the news.
Stan sipped his coffee.
I mean, it couldn't have been more than an hour or two later that he died.
But that was in the morning, Nan said. I didn't realize people went to the club so early.
Oh, normally no one goes that early. But on Wednesdays, they have the best Eggs Benedict. That's why I was there, and why Winston was there, too.
Nance raised a brow at him.
So, you ate breakfast together?
Stan shook his head.
Not together. We were at different tables. And now I regret that I didn't go over and talk to him. But he was having what looked like a heated conversation, and I didn't want to interrupt.
A heated conversation?
Nance leaned across the table, her eyes focused on Stan's face.
Who with?
With his brother, Larry Banks.